Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. This is Pastor Paul White, and I'm going through the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Today, we will take you up through the fourth verse as we conclude this segment of our teaching. Listen at the end of the program for how you can get a copy of yesterday and today's teaching uninterrupted on one CD. This is Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. I remember whenever the Lord began to introduce me to the Grace Revolution, my heart screamed in excitement when I would read about God's grace, and I would have another comprehension of His favor and His love towards me, and how this was not of my works but of His, and my salvation was secure in Christ. My heart got so excited, but I remember my head threw up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And if I had listened to my head, because my head was full of man's wisdom. My head was full of my life's experiences. It was full of what other preachers had told me, what my denomination had taught me, what my background said to be true. But my heart, the Holy Spirit lived in my heart. If I want to change my life, there are some things about me I can't change. It's going to take the finished work of Jesus to change my heart, because some of my problems are heart problems. Other problems I have are head problems, head issues. And so my head has to, I have to renew the way I think in order to line up with who I am. This is why Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so it's vital then that I understand the difference between living by my conscience and living by discernment. Paul said that those who are of strong meat have by use exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. My discernment is how I live in my heart, not my conscience in my head. Listen to what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. "How much more shall the shed blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Purge your conscience from dead works. The seat of your conscience has been purged from dead works through the spotless work of Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk a little bit more about conscience for a second. Hebrews 10, the next chapter, Paul says this in verse 1. "For the law was a shadow of good things to come, but it was not the very image of those things, and can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Perfect is the word complete. The sacrifices could never make the people that were offering them complete. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If it made them complete, they wouldn't have to keep coming back. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin." Notice that. They would want, if they had been purged forever, they would never have to be conscience of sin. We're never conscience of the Spirit. We discern the Spirit. We are only conscience of sin or dead works, because our conscience works in our head while the Holy Spirit works in our heart. Please hear this statement. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your head. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. The enemy speaks to your head. You say, "Well, I don't know that I know the difference." Yes, you will. You heard him speak to your heart the day you got saved. This went past your head. Your head had intelligence and stuff in it, but your heart was screaming out for hope, and he spoke to your heart, not your head. This is why no one gets saved that hears of Jesus in their head but doesn't hear of Jesus in their heart. It is essential that they hear of Jesus in their heart, necessary for them to hear of Jesus in their heart. So notice the difference. Now, with that in mind, with that knowledge, we are now armed. Let's go back to Romans 14. This is our key text, verses 1 and 2. "If you're weak in the faith, him that is weak in the faith, receive him, but not to doubtful disputations." So weak here, based on what we've just studied in cross-reference, weak is one who would believe that he is condemned or unrighteous if he eats. That would be weak in the faith. In other words, weak in the faith is believing that your actions either save you or make you lost. Paul called that weak in faith. Now, I got to say this. Much of the people I was raised around in the church would be categorized, and I was one of them. I'm going to put myself, I was the biggest duck in the pond, okay, as weak in the faith. Because I was, in so many ways, it was taught that what you did made you closer to God, or what you did wrong made you farther from God. We didn't realize that because of that, we were having a bad opinion of God. Let me show you why, if you think what you do makes you righteous or unrighteous, why that's a bad opinion of God. Let's make this very simple. God put all of your sins into Jesus at the cross, and then he crucified his own son. And it pleased God to do so because he loved you so much, he didn't want to do it to you. To seal his approval on the death of Christ, he raised his own son from the dead, and then allows every person who ever lives, by faith, to have that same living Jesus take residence in their heart. Thus God, who has already judged your sins and your sicknesses in the cross, now views his living son inside of you. For you to believe that your works or lack thereof make you righteous or unrighteous, you have a bad opinion of God, because what you are saying is this. You are saying that God put sins into Jesus, but now God refuses to recognize those sins in Jesus because God chooses to recognize them in you. That God can't have put all of your judgment into Christ because you believe God is still going to judge you and is judging you. Do you realize that the reason that is called a bad opinion of God is because you've made God out to be a liar? He didn't really pay for it. He only kind of paid for it. He didn't really put your sins in Jesus. He only kind of put your sins in Jesus. He didn't really take your sickness, your disease, your cancer, your tumor, and put it in Christ's body. He only kind of did when you live right. But if you live wrong, he puts them into you. That's a bad opinion of God. It borders on blasphemy. It is a dangerous way to treat God's grace. God's grace is not sloppy, agape, and greasy grace where people run out and sin like crazy. Those individuals who run out and sin like crazy and scream, I got grace, I got grace, I got grace, are not born again. Because when you're born again, the living Christ lives in you. There'll be as much of a hatred for sin in your heart as there is in the heart of God. You won't want to do wrong, but you'll know that when you do, you are no less saved or no less righteous than if you had not done those things wrong. And that will let an assurance in your heart that you are loved and you will have a good opinion of God. And when that happens, you'll never again be called weak in faith. You'll be called strong in faith. Just like Abraham, who had a doxa, a good opinion of God. So he that's weak in the faith, receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. Not to doubtful disputations means, let us not create doubt by disputing over the things of what they eat or what they don't eat. Because one believes that he may eat all things, while another who is weak eats herbs. And the word herbs would be translated close to our word vegetables. And so one man eats and thinks that's okay, and another man eats only vegetables. Let's move on to verse 3. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. And let not him which eats, I'm sorry, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. So notice that they are both received by God, regardless of whether they think it's okay to eat that meat or not eat that meat. And I think it's important for us to realize the phrase doubtful disputations in the Greek are decisions of doubts. In other words, if there's doubts about meats or etc., the church does not have the authority to decide a question of personal liberty in something that is not expressly talked about in the scripture. And so we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We cause a lot of disputations when we decide, oh, I think this is wrong. It's not in the Bible. We just think it's wrong. Because I don't think a good Christian would do that. And so we cause so much grief and pain because we establish these rules on our own. And Paul said, let's not have these doubtful disputations. What doubtful disputations are going to lead to is verse 3. It's going to cause someone that eats the meat to be upset with him that refuses. Because they're going to look at the guy that refuses as thinking he's better. That's the way we humans are. One guy goes, oh, I can eat it. And the other guy goes, no, I don't think I should eat it. My conscience says don't eat it. And the guy that's eating it thinks, oh, well, he thinks he's better than me because he says his conscience says don't eat it. And here's the way we act a lot of times. If we feel a conviction against something, we take that conviction out on everybody else. And what we really try to insinuate is, well, I've even heard Christians say this. I heard this before. Well, and I used to do that, and then the Lord dealt with me about it, and so I don't do it anymore. And they say it to the person that does it. And you know what you're saying to that person is, if you were as close to God as me, God would have said the same thing to you. Listen, just keep your mouth shut about what it is that you do or don't do. If you see your brother and you believe they're weak in the faith, keep your mouth shut about it. Because what does Paul say when he's talking about the same topic? We read about it a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, when he said their conscience being weak is defiled. Look at verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So you could actually take your liberty out and make someone else weak. But it goes the other way as well. Because Romans 14:3. Don't let him that doesn't eat judge the man that eats, because God's received him. So if you are one who says, I think I can do this, I don't feel anything in my heart that says I can't do this, and you do it, and then somebody else judges you for it, this is what Paul's talking about in Romans 14. Let's realize that some are strong in the faith, some are weak in the faith. Let's see the difference. Let's recognize the difference. And then let's learn to rest. Verse 4, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now he uses a very common illustration. There was slaves and masters in the time of Rome. And so Paul uses the slave and master relationship and says, is it one man's job to judge another man's servant? No, his own master is his judge. So you don't walk up to the master and say, I don't think your servant ought to be doing that. The master would say, hey, I don't think it's any of your business. It's not your servant. It's my servant. Paul says, listen, you belong to Christ. He is your father. You are his son. It's not my right to walk up to one man telling how to raise his kid. So God is able to make him stand. God is able. Notice it doesn't say God is able to make him fall. We want that verse sometimes to say that, because we want it to go, oh, God's going to make you fall. God's going to judge you. The verse actually says in Romans 14:4, God is able to make him stand. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. It is not his works that makes him stand. It's Christ in him that makes him stand. You and I are not held up by whether we eat or don't eat. We are held up by Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ in me that makes me stand. And praise God, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in you that makes you stand. Christ holds you up. Now, I'm going to stop right here in this segment. When we pick it up again, we'll start in verse 5. There's really no break in this chapter. It's 23 verses long. It's all really one big topic. So we'll just kind of break it into little segments. And when we pick it back up, we'll have every man being fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm going to talk about full-blown persuasion in the next segment. This has been Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Well, that concludes another segment of teaching here from the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. And I hope you've been blessed as we have tried to take you on a journey in different passages in the New Testament. And I hope and pray that you are having the message of God's grace and favor and His love for you explode in your heart, just as we have had in ours. And I also hope you know just how much He loves you. If you'd like a copy of today's teaching and yesterday's teaching, it's all in one CD, a little over 20 minutes long, and it's our gift to you, a way of saying thanks for being a faithful listener here at the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Contact us and ask for it by offer number R141. That's offer R141. And we'll send you this teaching from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. This is Pastor Paul White, hoping you have a great weekend. Be in church somewhere where you can celebrate our living Savior. And remember that you are greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902. Or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.